Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
So God still leads people through this up through today. In fact, I can give testimony. My coming to this America, packing my load and moving, is because God spoke to me in a dream. So my life was based on that. So you can now begin to think about yourself and say, well, dreams and visions are very critical. Now, in a moment, I will distinguish what I think is different between visions upon your bed and dreams, how I can distinguish it. Now, but that's just one example. Let me also give you, when it comes to dreams now, let's see. Because I say everybody have dreams and everybody have visions, how will you know whether this dream has a meaning or it will have some meaning or it's meaningful? How will you know that? When you are now walking with the Lord now, forget about the one you are when you are not walking with the Lord. When you are now walking with the Lord has a way of teaching you and he will teach his own people. Let's take an example from the scriptures. Here is an example. In the story of Joseph the dreamer, you all know the story of Joseph the dreamer, the son of Jacob. When he was just with his parents, he saw one dream. He said, oh, you know, my brother, I saw this dream. We were all bound in sheaves, and your sheaves and my sheaf and your bunch of sheaves were bowing down to my sheaf. It was a dream. Now they figured out what I said, what do you mean? You mean we are going to bow down to you? So they interpreted it right. Then he also saw another one. Oh, you know, I saw stars. I counted them. There are about 12 of them. And he said, and the moon and the sun, they are all bound down to me. 11 of them. So he said, wait. And his daddy even understood their dream. Said, what do you mean? Sun, moon, 11. 11 just ring a bell because he has 11 brothers. 11 brothers. Sun, moon, my father, my mother. And his daddy was angry. So how dare you say that? Praise the Lord. So dreams, God can make you begin to see. When you look at those two examples, you see a pattern. He was counting. Then he got to Egypt. You know the story how he got to Egypt. He was sold out of that bitterness and anger. But when he got to Egypt, the same pattern was following Joseph. God was showing the pattern. Some guys came into the jail, the butler and the baker, and they gave dreams. And he interpreted, they were all numbers. So God was kind of patterning things for him, and he became a dream interpreter. From there, just by that pattern, and the Holy Ghost in him telling him, no, when I give 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm counting for you. And again, here comes three branches. So those three branches, he said, that must be three days. God was patterning things for him, so he became so used to a pattern. When now he came before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, because God was kind of grooming him for what God was going to use him for. Amen? So that is how you interpret dreams. Through the anointing on him and through the pattern over the years, he could easily interpret dreams that comes to him. And he saw Holy Ghost have been showing him some of those things too in his own dreams. So he knew from what he saw, from what they saw, he could understand because God has given understanding and wisdom to him. Now he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, I saw another seven animals, seven cows, seven corns. And he said, this is the same thing. So he knew exactly that it's going to be 7 years or something. So he just gave the meaning as the Holy Ghost has led him. That is what dreams, how people interpret dreams, and that is how God will lead people to interpret dreams. So there is a pattern always that God will use. But if he's going to begin to work with you, he's going to give you that over the years so that you are comfortable with that. The same with, even if God is going to talk to you in a voice, God will make you, he has to groom you over the years, over the days, to make sure that you understand and recognize his voice. Because that part of it is very, very tricky. The hearing of the voice, or the vision of the eyes, or the dreams, they are just as tricky as anything. There are pitfalls. The devil can come in and deceive also. Many people know that. The devil can come in with a false dream, or with a false voice. So those are all the things that we have to watch against. But what we are saying today is, you want to be led by the Lord. The first and foremost thing when it comes to dreams and visions and so, is to cut off the other things that can hinder you. Cut off all the hindrances. What are the hindrances? A scripture said, through the multitude of business, a dream comes. Then you want to make sure that if you want the dream from the Lord, it does not come through multitude of business. What is multitude of business? We are just overshadowed with worry. If you are worried about your business, and you are worried about it, then you'll be having nightmares, which people call nightmares. That is multitude of business in your mind, in your heart. That is worry. Then what you do is to rest in the Lord. Cut all of those worries off and just put everything in the hand. Then if God is going to talk to you, God asked, it's not going to be competing with those worry. Because worry is like, oh, the other voice is talking to you, do it this way, do it that way. Oh, this thing is going to crash, this thing is going to collapse. But if you cut all of those things off, then God can talk to you about that business you are not worrying about. Amen? So that is why you have to first get rid of all of those negative things that will hinder your dreams from being authentic. Amen? Now, when it comes to visions, the Lord also uses vision. Most of the time, it's almost what we call it, it's just visions. It's just your eye. That's what it means. You see it. And you can still be upon your bed. Why is it very clear for everybody upon their bed? Because when you are sleeping, the body is almost like slain. And what is left, God can use. The conscious part, God can use to be your spirit. God can make your spirit just see, and then he can show you something without the body interacting, without the flesh interfering. So that's why it's easier for multitudes of people to just to be on their bed to see or to dream some vision. And then God can easily put instructions into there. I was reading something recently in the paper where they were saying some researchers were wondering, why do we sleep? Why do human beings have to sleep? I said, well, the Bible gives us at least one example. God uses the sleep to put in instructions. Even if that is the reason why he designed sleep in mankind, we can see that it's useful. He will put instruction into us to when we are sleeping. That's one example, one reason. Maybe many other reasons. But that is just one example. Let me give you another example here in the scriptures. When it comes to dreams and visions, let's look at an example in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 10 to 12. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. Because we're saying God uses dreams, he uses visions. Here is a vision that God gave to somebody to go and meet Apostle Paul, which is called Saul, and when he was converted. And they said there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. And then God talked to this Ananias in a vision, and God said, arise and go into the street, which is called Street, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Damascus, for behold, he prayed, and as seen in a vision. So God was showing vision to Paul, and God showing vision to Ananias. So we know that God speaks. Now, when we say he saw a vision, we assume, this is assumption, that he was on his bed sleeping in the night. And visions come also in the night easily to people than unless you are a prophet. There was a prophet that said he has seen visions of God with his eyes open. So those are gifts God can use, but on the bed, you can always see visions, even on your bed, that he uses your eyes to just see in the spirit world, and he walks to you and talks to you or give you direction, or you just see a drama unfolding before you. It will still be visions, but it will be different from dreams because you will be seeing it without you getting involved, and that's why we call it visions. Well, if you can also even be getting involved in that vision, but it will be in a different way. When you wake up, you know that it's just your eyes seeing it. You didn't go anywhere from your bed. Praise the Lord. Now, let's see another example here in Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. Now, these are just examples of visions that I'm listing here. They say this guy in Caesarea, this centurion, a devout man that feared God with all his house, and gave alms, he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming in to him. So this man was praying According to this, it was about the ninth hour. It means it was not upon his bed. He was praying, and then he saw a vision of an angel coming in. So that looked like what the prophets will see. But an angel came in and make him see into the spirit world. That's what really visions mean. You saw into the spirit world without you sleeping. Okay, that was what was being described there. And then the angel told him exactly what to do, and he did it, and he got the result of calling for Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, who came and preached to them. But that those are visions. And then visions in that case, then it's just your eyes being opened to see into the other world. But God uses that to lead people. And we say, will you like Lord to use that to lead you when you say, well, I'm Lord, I need you to lead me to the partner I'm going to choose for life? Oh, you most likely, you don't, maybe that's not what you're going to use. Maybe first the Lord is going to make you meet somebody. Then God is going to speak to you either dreams or visions, or even the indirect leading can come by first meeting the person. Nothing. And then the direct leading to know, hey, this is the one God is now putting in my heart, that this is the one I'm going to go and meet. So that is many ways God can use any of these, and can use combination of these to talk to you. Amen. Let me give you a story. Because the reason why this is very useful for mankind is this. When we were still in college many years ago, I just freshly joined the Christian Union group. So in fact, freshly baptized by the Holy Ghost. And I had a roommate who was already full of the Holy Ghost before me. And I had this vision one morning, just I said about a week after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I had this visitation, really I would call it, which is what you call vision, a visitation by the Lord. Where the Lord just brought a wedding card. Somebody invited somebody to wedding. And the Lord was reading, I said, John and Jane invited Femi and Dara to their wedding. And then the Lord said, I don't know this Jane. And he woke me up. And I woke up. That was the vision. Well, you know, I didn't know any of them except the word Femi, because he was my roommate. So I woke up that morning, it was 7 a.m. before we went to class, and I called this Femi. I said, I believe this is you. The Lord just came this vision and said, I don't, there's a Jane and John and Jane inviting you to their wedding, to Femi and Dada to their wedding. And I don't know John and Jane, of course, because I just joined their group. But I know that's you, Femi. And this brother said, oh Lord, which means he recognized the names. Amen. So that was how the Lord led them. Well, I don't know what he did with that dream, but that is how the Lord can lead through that, through somebody else, of course. But the Lord can lead you. And how will you like the Lord to lead you like that? Because people could be mismatched just like that because they didn't know. But God settled the problem for them by simply bringing a vision or a dream. It could be through somebody else. Praise the Lord. So there are many ways the Lord can lead us. And up to today, I don't know. I never know what would have Jane and John. I don't, those are not the names. I just use Jane and John. But I don't know what the brother did with it, but he knew. And he must have warned them. And they must have got rid of one another, whatever it is. But that is why we need to be led by the Lord. And many other things like that. Let me give you another example. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 9. Let's keep that. Chapter 16. Let me go to chapter 16. These are different visions that come in the New Testament. And I'm going to point to some dreams also. And most of these ones that are dreams and visions, like we said, they most likely will be on the bed without being right there in the daylight. Chapter 16, where Apostle Paul was talking, I said, and a vision appeared, verse 9, to Paul in the night. I already spoken about it. He said, there stood a man of Macedonia who prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, we immediately do, and before that, we are called to go to Macedonia. That was how the Lord led them, without saying it in a still small voice, without an angel. He just spoke to Paul in a dream, in a vision, by drama. Because he didn't say he saw God. He actually just saw a man look like a Macedonian, calling them to come to Macedonia. Now, I was talking about patterns. Let me talk a little bit about that pattern. When God wants to begin to use dreams to talk to somebody, he might use a pattern so that you get familiar with that pattern. like that example of Joseph. And the Lord has used that many times, for example, with me. I will see over the years that if I see my big brother or my principal or my big sister or anybody very important to me talking to me, I know that that was the Lord showing me that he's talking to me in that fashion. So he uses that face in that vision to make me to know that this is him talking. So that will be a pattern I will watch for. The same with many other things. You could use that pattern to make you to see how to interpret your dreams. Amen. That's to know what whether this is a dream that is the Lord talking to you or the Lord actually talking to you about the face you saw. But those are patterns you watch for when it comes to visions and dreams. And the Lord will use this over and over again. Now, let's come to the one that everybody loves. We want to hear from God. The still small voice. Amen. So we from the story of Elijah the prophet, we know about the still small voice. That's where the still small voice come from. In the story of Elijah the prophet, he went to this mountain, praying, fasting, and then the Lord came before him. He saw lightning, thunder, and then he said, "A still small voice came to him," and you know that was the voice of the Lord. Now that was how the Lord was leading Elijah, and it became a pattern that God will talk to you in your heart. If you have to listen to very quietly, you have to be patient, you have to be calm, and you have to remember this, it's not adults. Little kids have been able to hear, even 5-year-old, 6-year-old can hear from the Lord. And God wants to use that more and more with his children so that we can be so comfortable with him. But it takes some practice. Otherwise, it will muddle with your ideas. I remember talking to a little girl. This little girl will see me pray and she will come and kneel down by me and pray. That was when I was still in Nigeria. She will see me pray and she will come and kneel down by me and pray. So one time the Lord told me that, ask her whether she's just imitating me or she's... I have already preached to this little girl, about 6-year-old, and she gave her life to Christ. So she was imitating me. She saw me pray. She will pray. Come and pray. So the Lord told me one after I prayed and stood up, she was still on her knee. And the Lord said, ask her whether the Lord talked. So I said, she was walking out. I said, come, what did the Lord say? She said, the Lord didn't say anything. I said, well, you listen next time you pray. So she went out. The second day, I was praying. She came, saw me again. She came down, knelt down, started praying. And I was sitting down for 5 minutes. She was there. Then she was about to jump up and go. I said, what did the Lord say this time? And this little girl said, you know something? Something said, I have heard what you said. He said, but I thought I was the one thinking about it. I said, well, you thought you are the one thinking about it. No, it's not you thinking about it. God wants you to learn how to hear him. So the first thing God told her was, I have heard what you said. And he said it just came to her like he thought. And she just tried to dismiss it and say, oh, I thought I was thinking about that. No, that was how the Lord, because God is what? He's a great God. And a gentle father. So he's going to talk gently. He's not going to yell and scream. He's going to talk softly and quietly. But you've got to be listening. Amen? And then, another thing is, God will not talk to fools. I mean, what is fool? If he's telling you to do something and you won't do it, why does he have to tell you if you know that you won't do it? Or he's tell you once, told you twice, most likely doesn't need to tell you again. That reminded me of a minister, maybe many of us know about it. Kenneth Hagin Sr., he's passed on right now. He wrote something in his literature that I've shared with some other friends one time. Because I read it recently and kind of made an impression on me. He said the Lord led him one way or the other. He was a pastor then. He was not a preacher going about by that time. He was pastoring his church. And then he said one time, if another pastor came by, just they were about to start a fellowship like this, and he saw this a bus stop. And one pastor that he knew a long time ago just came out of that bus and came into their church. Oh, you instead, wow, what brought you over here this time? And the man just said, oh, I'm just passing by. I said, let me just drop over here. So it's after a minister at the end of the fellowship, the pastor, he told the pastor, you want to stay overnight with us? And he said, all right. And the Lord told him, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin to give that man some money. In fact, the Lord specified the money, maybe give him $5. And this pastor said, Pastor Kenneth Hagin said, I didn't have $5. In those days, he was talking about in the 1950s. All the congregation, all the money they were going to be like $3. You know, dollars in those days was big. So he said, Lord, how will I give this man $5? We don't even have $5 in a whole week. So but he said, God said, give him $5. So he gathered all the money he could get and he gave it to this man. And the Lord told him that the man stopped in front of your church because he was running out of money. So after he gave the man the money and realized that, well, not that God was going to give him back something immediately. I was thinking maybe God was preparing him for big money. No. But God was teaching him how to listen to the voice of the Lord. That was what I got from. That's what he got from it. He said, after another many months, another thing happened like that. Another pastor from another place just came by and he said, oh, preach for us today. And the man preached for them. And normally they would give the preacher so much money. He said, that day the Lord just told him that, don't give him that much money. Give him this much money. And he screamed and said, Lord, I can't. We don't have so much. And I said, give him that much money. And he went and gathered all the coins and pennies, gave it to this man. He said, about a month later, there was a phone call from somewhere. They were talking and they actually got his wife. His wife was on the phone. He said, please call back. Can I go and pray for Susan? So he's in the hospital. And his wife was still saying, well, gee, unless the Lord tells you, he's most I want you. Because he said, he overheard and said, who is that? The Lord already told him to go. So tell them we'll be there in about 1 hour. So he went to this hospital. The fellow they went to pray for was not a member of the church, but they knew him or her. So they went to this hospital and they knelt down, started praying, and they said the Lord just spoke to him. The same voice. Said, don't pray. Stand up and just say this. And he stood up and he just said what the Lord told him to say. And the woman rose up and miracle happened. So they were rejoicing. They were going back home in his car. And as we were going, as he was driving, it was like somebody was sitting in the back of the car and just spoke and said, if you have not done the two, when I told you to give money to Pastor so-and-so, and when I told you to give money to the Pastor so-and-so, if you have not done those, I couldn't have used you there today. He said, he looked back to see who was talking. No, it was the Lord. So what was he realized that God used those two examples when we first thought about it. So, God was telling him to give. No, God was not teaching him to give. God was telling him to learn to listen to his voice. That's what matters to God. Teaching us how to get his voice. Distinguish that from the other voices, from ideas from your mind, from suggestions from your head. And when he did it once and he did it twice, then God can come to him in the hospital and say, don't do that, do it this way. And he did it and it worked. Miracle happened. He said, if you have not listened the first two, I won't be able to use you in this miracle. So you now can see what the hearing from God, what it really means to God. He can use this to set you up, to groom you, as we call it, groom you so that you are prepared for, we want to go and say, rise up and walk. He's going to tell you, no, don't say rise up and walk. There was a man that was born blind. The Lord didn't lay his hand upon him and say, see. So he must have heard from the Spirit. This time you spit on the floor, roll it and put it on his, and that was what he did. So we want to be able to hear from God, so that we know what to do for every different cases. But God has to groom us so that we can hear his voice and distinguish that from all the other voices. The same with anything you are going to be led. It can put a yearning in your heart. And with that yearning, you just know that he wants to do something. You go and do it and you get the good result. Amen? When you begin to respond to those yearning, it could be a voice coming to you and then you, like I said, you want to. There will be voices. There could be opposition to those voices too. Amen? There will be opposition. So don't think all of these things are not being opposed by the devil. He will oppose it. Especially when you are beginning to learn, when you are still practicing. Like I said, we are practitioners. When you are beginning to, it's like taking step by step. A little boy wants to walk and he tries the first 2 steps and he fell down. And the baby mama come and carry the baby. Well, if the boy got upset and said, I'm not going to walk ever. I fell down. No, it's not going to work. You are going to have to rise up and do it again. Because that's what he has programmed in that little boy. He's going to rise up and do it again. And if he fall down again, he's going to rise up and do it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the same way with all of these things, when you misfire, God is not going to say, you throw this one away. He's not going to listen. He wants you to keep learning. But how do you want to take long to get there? You want to get there quick. So that is why you need to practice it too. You need to learn to listen. Like I told that little girl, I said, Lord, when you pray, Father, I thank you, Father, give me this, give me that, give me that. I know you're going to give me, thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't just jump up and go. You are talking to somebody, a king. Now listen, whether he's going to talk back to you. And that is the beginning of practicing it. Now, if you can talk back to you and you hear, you just quietly listen, shut off all the other mind, you will see that his own voice will break through the silence. And he can do it. It will be so soft that it will look like you think about it. That was how it started. That is this still small voice. It will come to you as if you are the one thinking about it. But when you watch it, you will see that it was not you thinking about it. It was the Lord. Amen? And the Lord will begin to groom us. And has been doing that for many and many of over the years. You begin to see that, hey, that is how the Lord speaks. When you begin to see that, give him the glory. And then do what he says. If he's giving you suggestions, God doesn't give suggestions. That's what we have found out. Why? Because he is God. It may look like suggestion, but it's a command. So if you think it's a suggestion, oh no, that's his opinion. No, it's not his opinion, it's the instruction. So then do it. Amen? So God does not give suggestion. Well, of course, to us, if you don't take it, that means you take it as a suggestion which you can throw away if you like. But when that's why sometimes many people don't hear him, because he does not want to. He said he won't talk to fools. If he's going to tell you to do this, like he just told that guy, that Kenneth Hagin, if you didn't do the first and you didn't do the second, why do I have to tell you the third? Which look like glorifying Kenneth Hagin right now. The first one didn't look like glorifying him, giving money to somebody. This one didn't give him anything back. This one gave him some reputation also. Everybody said, yeah, I want that. I want to be able to just stand up and say it, and the man rise up and walk. Yeah, but he said, I won't be able to tell you that because you didn't listen the first time. You didn't listen the second time. And why would I tell you the third time? So that is the real moment. As far as God is concerned, that is one of his purposes. And let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 1, chapter 2. So when we say we want to be led by the Lord, there is a reason for it. And the climax, the most important reason why he wants to groom us to the point that we are actually hearing him is in what you see in 2 Kings chapter 2 about the story of Elijah the prophet. By this time of Elijah's life, he has been groomed to the point that he knew that God is saying this. So here, this is what God told Elijah, leading him step by step to where? The port of deportation. He was going to be taken away in the rapture. What all of us have been waiting for, the rapture. We are going to go and meet the Lord in the air. But you see, the prophecies told us only those that are covered, that are the cloud of God's presence will rest upon this elect. And instructions will be coming from that cloud to this elect. Only those who are under that cloud that are listening to that instruction and following it, they are the ones that are going in the rapture.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.